Shut up.
I didn't do anything. I'm a nice man. I mind my own business. So you tell me that's that before I beat the hell from you. I have so much strength in me, you have no idea. I have a love in my life. It makes me stronger than anything you can imagine. I would say that's that, Mattress Man.
You came all the way from LA to tell me this.
Yes, I did.
Told the cops?
No.
All right. That's that.
Homemade Broadcast, episode 82, Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com. How the heck are you? I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. I appreciate your concern and your hopes for my well-being. It's nice to hear from people every once in a while, you know. I am your host. My name is Will Kuntz, host of this program. Yep. Today is Cam Bertrand Day. Cam is a young comedian in the Tampa Bay area, working in the area, winning everybody's money, taking all the contests, and he will be on the We're Still Here show, which if you don't know about the We're Still Here show, Radio St. Pete and the Homemade Broadcast are putting on a showcase of Tampa Bay comedy to rub it in Creative Loafing's face, since they don't pay attention. Law Smith, who's been on this program in the past, before the new year, had called out Creative Loafing for their lack of comedy coverage, local comedy coverage anyways, and Creative Loafing responded with a, here's the thing about reading text, is you don't have tone, you can't read how it actually sounds, but I read it as very snarky. So in the Cigar City blog post, Law had did his research and showed like verbatim what they covered this year, and there was not one single thing on comedy during the whole year. So anyways, Creative Loafing responds with this kind of snarky response, basically saying that they do cover comedy and that they have a limited budget, and let them know what they can do to help Tampa Bay comedians. So in Law's thing, he said, he challenged them. He said, let Cigar City put on a show at the Creative Loafing space. And, if you like it, maybe you throw us a bone every once in a while, you know, cover some shows that we're doing. And if you don't, hey, fair enough. We gave it a fair shake and, you'll never hear from us again. So no problem. And they didn't even, Creative Loafing didn't even mention that part in the rebuttal to Law and Cigar City Comedy. So I had approached him after I read that, which I thought it was fantastic that he did that, because it needed to be done. And I wanted to do it, but I don't have any sort of traction really in the community, so it would have been kind of a moot point coming from me. So I called him after I read the post, and I said, you know what, man, let's just pool our resources and get a show at Creative Loafing Space. Why not? And he said, well, that's, you know, that's a pretty good idea, but let's talk about after New Year. This was like Christmas time and everything. And we didn't really talk about it again. And then I just said, you know what, let me just do it. So pooled the resources of Radio St. Pete and Slybar, who's been very good to us, of course, as you know. And we rented out this CL space, and we're going to do a show there. And it's going to be really good. I got all the comics are signed up. I'm announcing them slowly as we go along, but it is a very solid lineup. And this fellow that's coming on today, Cam Bertrand, is on this show. So if you want to find out more, which you absolutely should, you should check out the Homemade Broadcast Facebook page at facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast. It is under the events section, and the place can hold 150 people. And I'm assuming that we're going to have to turn people away for this thing. So make sure you go RSVP, spread the word, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good one. I hope, you know, this kind of lights a fire under Creative Loafing. I don't have much hope for that. But, you know, hey, crazier things have happened. I don't know. So, yes, this podcast is brought to you, of course, by Slybar. Check out why I love the burg is named Slybar, one of the top businesses to watch in 2015. And it's because of events like comedy open mics and Cards Against Humanity tournaments and Spoke Card Sundays, which was yesterday, where they do a bike ride around the city and stuff like that. Really innovative events. So check them out at facebook.com/SlybarSt. And on Twitter, I believe, is SlybarSt as well. And they're located at 2061 Central Avenue. Get in there if you haven't. Have a beer. They have PBRs for $2. And then they got some, you know, really, really good beers. They had Broadway. I don't remember what it's called. Broadway something. But it is a wheat and, like, IPA fusion, which I don't usually like wheats, but this one was pretty darn good. I've had it a few times, so make sure you get out there and check that out. Oh man, I just finished The Walking Dead season finale. I gotta tell you, the worst mistake I think of my life so far was getting involved in that show. It's not a bad show, don't get me wrong. It's entertaining, you know, I do enjoy it when I watch it, but it is just the same things over and over again. There's a, it's just follows that storyline of, okay, there's a protagonist and then there's your antagonist and there's always a new antagonist. And that's, it's just boring at this point. You know what's going to happen at the season finale. There's going to be a new bad guy that comes along and that's just the way it is. I'm so over it. And they're going to do another show like this. It's based in LA. It's, which that sounds cool. Like I kind of wish I could watch it, but I'm not even going to attempt to watch this new Walking Dead. Forget it. No way. I'm already in too deep with this one. I have to continue to watch. And the thing about it is this show could go on for, who knows, a decade under the same writing. And, you know, they got to DC, right? I don't want to spoil too much. Or they're close to DC. Now, if you're going to be in a zombie apocalypse, right, I'm pretty sure DC is where you want to be. Because if DC is a mess, forget it. You just gotta go and maybe head up to Canada, see what's going on up in Canada. What's the capital of Canada? Toronto? I don't know. But maybe head up to Toronto and see what's going on there. Or you could head down to Mexico. But Mexico is pretty much a zombie apocalypse as it is. So I don't know if I'd want to head there. But yeah, I'm just in too deep with the stupid Walking Dead. I can't wait for that show to just be over. But I can't stop watching now because I have too much time invested. So It's a burden to me. It's troubling, and I'm just upset by it. Very upset by it. I think the Homemade Broadcast is on iTunes now, which is a big deal for me. I feel like this is a big step in being podcasters. You have to be on iTunes, and that's what people have told me. Are you on iTunes? I'll check you out on iTunes. No, I'm not on iTunes. I try to avoid it as much as possible. I don't even have iTunes on my computer, so I had to download stupid iTunes even though I don't want it. So I did it. Audio Boom is really good. The Spreaker app, man, they are out probably as soon as next week, because I emailed them 3 weeks ago and they have yet, and I've been harassing them on Twitter the whole deal, and they have yet to respond to my complaints. And not even complaint, initially I just wanted help. That's all I wanted, was help with this RSS feed, because I don't even know what it is or what we're doing here. I don't know, I'm an idiot with this technology stuff. But, so yeah, Audio Boom's hooking it up, and I'm pretty sure that I can just record the way I'm doing now from Audio Boom's app. So, Spreaker, you're out, man. I pay for that too. That's what really gets me mad. If it was a free service, I'd be like, all right, well, you know, it's free. But I pay them yearly to use Spreaker, and their customer service is just abysmal. But Joe Bordeaux, Mr. Radio St. Pete himself, told me about Audio Boom, and Joe's a smart man, so I got to go with him and trust him. So I guess hopefully I can still get it on YouTube, which I'm imagining you can. You can upload an MP3, right, to YouTube? I don't know. There will probably be an issue with that, too, because there's been an issue with every single thing I've ever tried to do with this podcast. So hopefully that will get figured out very soon. And coming up in the next few minutes, I'm just waiting for him to arrive. He said he was on his way. We have a Tampa Bay comedian, Cam Bertrand, coming up on the show. So, through the magic of radio, let's join that interview, already in progress. Please hold. Let's just get started, I guess. Cam Bertrand, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Talking to the audience.
Hey.
It does feel like I'm talking to people, even though not talking to anybody. Like, yeah, being in just having a microphone in front of your face, you
yeah,
feel
it makes
like
you feel important. It makes you feel like, yeah, people are listening to me.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, my mom will definitely be listening, so you'd be talking to Karen.
Hi, Karen. Sure. It's nice to meet you.
So Cam is going to be on this. I was talking before about the We're Still Here show. I just gave Cam some flyers to put up, do some graffiti, wheat paste, or whatever he's going to do with them. I don't know.
Put that on buildings and whatnot.
That's right. That's right. We were just talking about, also, I went and visited Law up in Brandon, and you were familiar with Brandon because you grew up there.
Yeah, I grew up more of in Ruskin, and then we moved to Brandon right before I went to high school. So I went to high school at Brandon High for 4 years.
Did they have a good football team? Or?
No.
No,
we had a good basketball team. I hooped, but our football team was hot garbage.
Really bad? Yeah,
because we had, like, the strongest schedule. We had to play, like, all the best teams, and we'd get blown out by, like, 60
like
points.
Plant, Armwood.
Yeah, Plant, Armwood.
Oh,
who else? Oh, we got blown out so many
Sickles.
Games. Strawberry Crest was good for a couple years.
Yeah, Sickles was good, too. I don't know if they're still good now or...
Yeah, I try not to watch high school sports. It feels weird.
Yeah,
I'm keeping up with the... yeah, you know that high school's got that other 16-year-old kid that's real good.
I should go out and watch him. He's gonna be wearing tights. Yeah, no, I went to a game... I went to Largo High School.
Yeah.
So I went to a game. They got good, like... Districts got switched around because it was like 50-50 black white,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden districts got switched and it was like 80% black.
80%
and the football
so you
team
got blown out.
No, it got really good. Largo's football team was really good.
Largo got up 80. I thought you meant the rest of the conference got 80% black people. I was God.
No, yeah. So we had a really good team for a couple years, and I went to a game they played St. Thomas Aquinas.
Okay, I don't even know where that's at.
That's down in Miami.
That's how you know those teams are good, when you can't, you don't know the names, St. Vincent, St. Mary's.
Yep, and they're ones that, like, recruit for high school and everything.
Yeah.
Like, when we were there, Chris Carter's kid was playing on the team.
Wow.
So, and they didn't want to play on our field because it wasn't
good enough.
Was not up to, so
this isn't up to par with our skills.
Yeah, they paid to have it. They paid like $60,000 or something to have the whole field redone and resodded.
They paid to have your field redone.
Yes. Yeah. And they paid. We had a nice painted logo on there and everything. It looked beautiful.
That's some Floyd Mayweather type stuff. Hey man, I'm gonna buy you a ring and then I'm gonna beat you in it.
Yeah, exactly. But we held our own, man. I remember it was 13-3 at half, and I was like, oh my god, they're gonna pull this out. But then they came out, St. Thomas came out in the second half.
And then they put their starters in.
Yes.
And
oh, man, did they beat us good. It was like in two quarters, I think they scored 40-something points.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they whooped us. So, yeah, but it was weird. I was pretty old then, too. I think I was like a junior in college then. I was going to the game. I had my blue and gold socks on, and I was like, what am I doing, man? I need to leave. 23.
Mid-game, you're just like, this isn't for me at all.
Yeah, this is I shouldn't be here. I'm not covering it or anything. So, yeah, it was kind of embarrassing.
Dude, I remember the worst loss my team ever suffered. We're at an AAU tournament, and we played against the team that had Austin Rivers, Rivers' son.
Yeah, yeah.
And he played 4 minutes and had 12 points like it was nothing.
Oh,
and we
gosh.
Were like, this is just not fair.
Did that guy do anything? Like,
he's in the league now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, yeah. He actually is on Doc Rivers' team. He's with the Clippers.
Oh.
He's not great, yeah. But, you know, he's playing for his dad, getting yeah. play time. Because, you know.
That would be kind of, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to play for dad.
I mean, it's a lose-lose situation. Because if you play well and you get play time, it's like, oh, you're supposed to. It's your father. But if you play bad, it's like, oh. Your dad sucks at coaching you.
Yeah, no, and you're only no on the team because your daddy's boy.
Yeah, everything. Exactly.
Yeah, that's rough, man. Cam, you're a stand-up comedian. You're taking all the awards, taking all the competitions. You took home Slybar's $50 the other night. I thought you were brand new, too. But you've been around for a little while now.
I'm almost 2 years in. Almost two. It'll be two in October, so I guess it's like a year and a half or whatever. But I love it, man.
When did you notice, like... you're catching on a little bit. And what was it like going in, like, as your, like, when did you do your first mic?
First mic, October 20th, 2013. Yeah.
Where was that at?
Side Splitters.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You went right in, too.
Right in. Yeah. I it was funny. I Googled open mics, and they were the first one that popped up. I signed up, and the sign-up was, like, 2 months in advance. So I was like, all right, I'm going to write 20 minutes of stuff. I'm going to come with some fire.
20 minutes?
Yeah, because, like,
oh my
you
gosh.
Only get, like, 5 minutes of stage time. Yeah, but I was like, I wrote all this stuff, and I was like, I'm gonna have more than I need just in case. And
that's
I got up
way.
There, and I blew through it in 5 minutes, and I got off stage. Dude, everybody thinks they have so many jokes until they get up there and do them, and they're like, that was 2 minutes?
Yeah.
I thought it was an hour.
Yeah, time is hard to gauge, man. But so you had just enough, though. You planned for 20, you had your five.
Yeah.
And how did you do? Did you do all right?
It's actually one of the greatest things ever. I had to follow Pretty Paul Parsons.
Oh, my gosh.
And Pretty Paul is one of the dirtiest old men on this planet. Yeah. And I had no idea. I thought he was an open micer, man.
Yeah.
I went up after him, and I was like, this is not fair at all. I was like, this is what I have to go against. And then come to find out he's like a legend in Tampa.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It was fun though. After I got off, I got offered Opportunity Knocks at Side Splitters.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't know it was my first open mic because I didn't tell anybody. I didn't want anybody to know.
Yeah.
So Paul Solio came up and he was like, hey, do you want to do this competition? And I was like, yeah. So I did that a month later. I ended up winning that one and then went to the finals and I lost, and I was supposed to lose. Devin Siebold won, hands down, great comic.
Yeah, he's Orlando based, right?
Yeah, real funny dude. He won, and that humbled me because, like, the first open mic, I get a competition, and I win that competition, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm doing something. And then I lost, like, real, real bad. It was such a bad set. But it was a learning experience, man.
Yeah, that's kind of unheard of, too, because most people just bomb their first time. I mean, even I've heard, you know, the greats, you know, on podcasts and stuff where they just, oh, yeah, I ate it big time.
Yeah, and it feels weird not having that story, because every great comic's like, yeah, I ate it my first time. And I'm just like, I didn't. Like, it wasn't great. It wasn't great by any means, but it wasn't awful. I've heard some awful stories where they're like, man, I got booed my first time. And I'm like, I got laughs. Like, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
So it's like, I kind of wish I had that. I was so bad, but it just...
Well, you have, what I noticed about you is you have a stage presence. It seems like, I don't know if you're confident or not, but you definitely seem like you are confident and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
And that might have changed because you're winning all these things now, and now maybe you are. You know?
That feels like such a weird thing. Oh, because you're winning, you're happy.
Yeah.
But no, the confidence comes from the work, man. I feel like if you put in the work, the confidence comes. Because it's like, as long as you know, like if you're in the gym every day shooting jumpers and then you get in the game and you shoot a jumper, you're like, I've done this 1,000 times. So it's like if you get up every night and then you get up at a show, it should be the same. You know, practicing for the show is what's important.
Yes, no doubt about it, just like anything else. I've noticed that a lot of comics, even the ones that I consider good ones, don't do open mics.
Yeah. Everybody's got their own way that works.
I just don't know how. I mean, like Louis C.K. will stop in and do an open mic somewhere. Bill Burr does open mics. You know, I just don't know how you could be that confident in your material.
If you don't repeat it.
Yeah. And not only practicing it for yourself to get it into your head, but doing it in front of people where
to feel comfortable doing it.
Or just
to
get a gauge. Use a, you know, a scale to see where you're at. If you're getting reactions, if you're getting nothing. You know what I mean? So
everybody has their own means that works. I didn't start off doing open mics every night. I didn't. I talked to JB about it, and he's helped me so much. Because when I first started, I figured, if I tell a joke once, I no longer want to tell it again because it doesn't feel right. Right. Mm. So I wouldn't open mic every night, if anything, I'd open mic maybe once or twice a week, maybe once a month. Like, yeah. I would only get up when I was confident in what I had written, mm-hmm. instead of writing something and being like, I want to try this now because it feels new. I want to get it out. I would only open mic once in a while. And then finally, I realized it's repetition that makes you better, not focusing on how good it is the first time you do it. Yeah. It's supposed to be how good it is the 100th time you do it, you know, once you critique it and whatnot. So everybody learns at their own pace. If you open mic once a month and that's what's helping you get better, hey, by all means, do what you got to do. But repetition is what gets comfortable.
Absolutely. You know, I'm kind of a casual. If I have something that's bothering me, let's say, you know, like I'm a podcaster who likes to hang out with comedians. So I'll go to open mics just to hang out. And you know, I put one on for, you know, Radio St. Pete on our thing. So I went like last week to Dunedin because I had a few things that were bugging me. Mm-hmm. And boy, did I. Oh, I ate it.
You really ate it?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but
I killed the show. I felt bad because everything was going fine. I mean, there wasn't a huge crowd there or anything, but like that's when people started leaving. Then Law went up next. I was like, oh shit. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh man, I've done way worse. I've thought about something on the ride to somewhere, and then I'm like, all right, I'm gonna talk about this, and then I go into it and it's not getting what I'm wanting it to get, and I just bail. Yeah, I've had to follow JV and I just eat it. Yeah.
Well, it's hard here because I'm learning that there are a lot of comedians here. It's just hard to get people to come out and watch them. If it's people don't really go to open mics, it seems
man,
like.
But see, this is what I've come to is open mics are weird. It's a weird thing to do. Comedy's weird. Comedy is a weird thing because what you're doing is essentially you're just listening to somebody talk about things and hoping you relate. Mm-hmm. You know, so anytime people actually come out and see an open mic, it's crazy to think that they just want to laugh. They just want to hear a stranger they don't know talk about things, hopefully relate. It's such a weird thing. So when people come out, it's cool. But when they don't, I can be like, well, I can't blame them. I can't be like, why aren't you coming to see people you don't know talk about things you don't care about?
Right. If you're just joining us, I'm sitting down with Cam Bertrand. Cam is a comedian in Tampa Bay area, frequenter of Sly Bar and many other open mics. One of the hardest working young fellas that I've seen. You get out there a lot. You know, I've noticed that in my time that it feels like things that connect are when you point out an hypocrisy, meaning something that a double standard, something like that, where it's just, it's not even a funny type of comment. It's like you chuckle because you're like, oh,
yeah, that really is a thing. Yeah.
Why does that work?
I agree. I think relating to people based on what they know and now what seeing a second side of it and being like, wow, that really is a double standard in society. That sucks.
Yeah. And they're everywhere, man. There's plenty of them to point out.
So many, man.
Yeah. How old are you? You're pretty young.
I'm 21. I just turned 21.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, because I got to buy you a beer, a birthday beer next time, man.
Yeah. the first night I went to Dunedin after my birthday, everybody was like, I got to buy you a beer. I was like, I've already gotten two. I was like, I'm little. I will get drunk very quickly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to separate them out over a couple nights.
That's a good idea, man. You're driving all around. You don't want to be like, that's what, in my younger days, I'm going to say this, and I don't want it to sound like I'm bragging, but I'm a pretty good drunk driver back in my heyday.
Yeah,
like
When I was 20. It's an older man's game. It is.
It's definitely a younger, and I'm not even going to tell you to do it. Don't do it. It's a terrible thing to do. Like now though, like I look back on, I'm 30 now.
Yeah.
So I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, like I'm so lucky that I didn't kill somebody or kill myself or something.
I don't know.
Like that.
This is how I feel. I feel like the older generation, like to me, you're older than me, you know? So I feel like before cell phones, drinking and driving was just a thing. People did it. It was just the normal, right? Now it's texting and driving. That's a young man's game.
Yes.
I can text and drive and get away with it for hundreds of miles.
Man, that is the worst.
I've seen old people text and drive, and I'm like, you're going to die. There's no way around this. You're going to kill hundreds of people if you send hey to your friend Gertrude.
Yeah. Dude, no, I my friends do it, and I'm like, you got to stop. Because that is, I mean, at least if you're drinking, you're looking at the road, hopefully.
I don't know. Drinking and driving, there's a lot going on. You're like, oh, the radio, I don't like this song. Oh, I want some gum.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
That's true.
But texting and driving, you're like, super focused
on
your phone.
You're not even looking at the road, man.
Yeah, that's, most of the time it's not even texting and driving anymore. It's Facebook and driving. Like, yeah, you're not even doing anything. You're just reading tweets.
That's the thing. Like, just wait till you get to a red light. Like, yeah, what are you doing? I don't know. I always, because I'll do it, but I, like I said, I'll be at a red light or something like that, and I still look up, make sure I'm not going to screw the guy behind me.
Oh,
you know,
man. I'm not going to lie. I do it. It's a young man's thing. I shouldn't, you know, but I do it. I'm good at it.
I hope we
it's
don't,
terrible to say I'm good at it. But
I hope we don't listen to this audio in, you know, a couple of years and be like,
yeah, Cam died. Yeah. He tried to send your gay.
And that's the thing, man. It can wait. It really can.
Yeah, definitely not a necessity, but it's like, it's almost like driving's a thing where the vehicle's doing all the work, so you feel useless.
Yeah.
So it's like you're behind the wheel and you're like, what can I do to feel important?
GPSing and maps, because sometimes that will keep my eyes off
maps
the road
are a
too.
Thing of the past, man. If I get in somebody's car, they open the glove compartment, they got a map, I can't trust them.
Oh, I mean, I by can't. Maps, I mean Google Maps.
Yeah, Google Maps. Yeah, I'm talking about on your phone.
Yeah,
I'm talking about nobody uses an actual handheld map now.
No, I'd be like, get out of here.
Get out of my car. Yeah. You're a sociopath.
TomTom or something. I'm like, what are you doing?
I don't even know if I use that word properly. Sociopath? I don't know.
Psychopath. Sociopath.
Yeah.
I don't know what the difference is.
I don't know either.
So what's your, what I like about you, too, is that you seem to have new stuff, too.
Yeah, I write constantly.
All the time.
And I'm the worst at bailing on something. Like, if I write something and I do it the first time and it doesn't get a laugh where I want it or it doesn't get the reaction I need, I'll bail. And I'll just write something new because I'm so, I don't know what's the word, spastic. Like, if I write something, I'm like, I'm super excited about it in the moment, and then I'll do it, and I'm like, oh, that let me down because it wasn't what I wanted it to be. So I'll bail on it. And there's jokes that some people are like, why don't you do that anymore? I'm like, it didn't get what I wanted. And I'll write something new and it'll get something bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't like maybe tweak it, maybe set it aside, think about it a little more. And
I'm so bad about like going back and editing. I review every video, every audio, and I take what I want. And then I critique. But if it doesn't get something the first two times, it's done.
Really?
Yeah, man. Just because I write so much. And I feel like my outlook on things changes every day.
Yeah.
Like, I'll write something one way, and then I'll come back and be like, man, that was a dumb outlook on that, and I'll rewrite it.
That's interesting, man. For a young guy, I've never heard anybody thinking like that, you know?
Oh, man. I feel two different ways about anything at any given moment. Like, I'll see both sides of it and pick which one I want based on the facts.
I think probably maybe even I'm too confident in some things. I'm like, I know this because I feel like it's hard to make me laugh. So if something makes me laugh, then it must be good, right?
Yeah,
probably maybe not always is.
Yeah. See, the thing I found is if you find something funny, it's funny. You know what I mean? Whether it's funny to just you or it's funny to hundreds of people, the way you make other people relate to it is by showing them what you see. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you find this funny because of this,
yes,
if you can show them that from your perspective, that's where the funny is.
Yeah. And whether, that's a challenge too there.
Yeah, it's definitely
always
a challenge because not everybody's the same. It's all personalities and
Well, that's the thing too.
Subjective.
I mean, you'll please, I mean, if you're lucky, 75% of the people where you're at will be howling and hooting and hollering, and then you'll see just a couple people just...
Yeah, you can't please 100% of the people all the time because it's not fun at that point because then you're just talking about basic stuff. You're like, who likes children? You know, people are like, yeah, everybody's on your side.
Right.
But dude, what's the fun in that? What's the fun in being so politically correct that nobody doesn't like you?
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things like bodily functions and sex stuff that will always get a chuckle. But the challenge is, you know, to not have to go there, I guess, you know. And
the challenge is being different, man, because there's so many people who have done comedy and have their own voice. It's like that's what you have to do. You have to find your voice. You got to find why you're funny, and you got to find why people can relate to you in any given situation. If you feel the exact same way as another person, you're not doing anything different. You know, there's already a guy in that lane.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm saying the same thing somebody else is saying, it's like, we've already got that guy. We don't need you. It's
right.
Like making the same songs as another artist. It's like, we got that guy.
Yeah, that's true. I think, and if you're just joining us, sit down with Cam Bertrand. Cam is a comedian in the Tampa Bay area. I hate having to do those little intro because then I lose my train of thought.
It's cool. I don't mind.
Who were your kind of, I mean, were you kind of like a comedy nerd growing up?
Oh, dude, I was so big of a nerd in comedy. Yeah, like.
Who are your people that you really look
top
up
five
to?
Right now?
Yeah.
Dude, I've got it. Dave Chappelle is the greatest of all time.
Got my tickets today, by the way.
Baddest man to ever touch a microphone. Yeah, quick thing before I give you the rest of my people. The day they went on sale, the website crashed immediately.
Yeah.
And I was so afraid that I wasn't going to get tickets because I was on there for 30 minutes before the site even released the tickets. I was like, refresh. So I was like, man, there's no way I'm not going to get these. Because I didn't know if he was going to add a second show. So I drove to Ruth Eckerd and bought them in person.
That's a smart move.
Yeah. By the time I did it, though, most of the seats were sold out except for the VIP. Mm-hmm. And I was like, get me. I have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to buy ticket for me and my mom, paid out the butt, man. But
was it 125
a piece?
Yeah. I almost did it just because, I don't know, it's VIP, right? I mean, it'd be kind of cool.
The only thing is you get a dinner before it. And I was like, Mom, that's cool. We get a free dinner before. And she's like, hey, it wasn't free. It wasn't free at all.
Yeah, you paid for it, right?
Yeah, I paid for both of our tickets, so I don't know why she was complaining.
Well, I was telling you, I got third row. I got the tickets came today. I'm in row N. So it's not third row. So I'm going to have to call Ruth Eckerd and see what's up. I wish I would have like screenshotted the page or something like that. Cause
did you got them online? So you picked your seat. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
So I got to call down and see what the deal is.
I got them in person. She handed me the ticket. So I'm good.
Row N's probably still pretty good. I mean,
row is decent. You like in the middle.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it goes like A through Z or whatever. And then it goes double letters.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're not too far.
I don't know. I told the my buddy Brian and I are going, and I was like, yeah, man, I got third row. It's going to be awesome. So I'm going to have to break the news to him that we did not back it third row.
I'd fight family members to get third row. Do you understand?
Yeah, I'd
fight homeless people.
do you know Pete Holmes?
Yeah.
I'm going to see him, too. We got first row. Almost center for that one.
I got the tickets to see Bill Burr.
I
got the Chappelle tickets. I got Mulaney ticket. Well, I got one Mulaney ticket. I'm going to see him by myself. I'm in row C. Yeah, so I'm like right in the front.
Sweet.
Yeah, to see him by myself, it's gonna be weird. I'm being between couples.
Stratus Center?
Nah, he's doing Capitol Theater. It's the
the one in Clearwater.
Yeah.
I've never been there. I heard it's a nice little.
I never been there either. It's smaller. I was gonna go see Tom Papa Saturday, but I had to work. But
I can't get into Tom Papa.
I like Tom Papa. The only thing that I've seen from him was his thing on Ari Shaffir's "This Is Not Happening."
Yes, I loved it. I just discovered this. I don't have cable, so I just discovered it. What a great concept!
Such a great show.
Yeah,
because comics have the best stories, man.
Yeah, and they know how to tell his stories too.
Exactly. It's not long drawn out with no pauses. It's he knows where it's going to get a laugh because it's such a good story. Mm-hmm. Back to my top five. Dave Chappelle's the greatest. Patrice O'Neal is my second. Patrice is amazing. My third is going to be Chris Rock. And then I'm going to go Louis C.K., Bill Burr.
That is a solid lineup, my man. Doesn't get much better than that.
There's so many comics that could be in a top five. Like, I ask everybody, what's your top five, my man?
I like Patrice is my number one. Mm-hmm. Probably Louis, Doug Stanhope, Bill Hicks. Mm-hmm. And probably Bill Burr would be number five for me.
It's a solid lineup, man. I love people's lineups. I got somebody's lineup the other day, and they had Jim Brewer in their five. I was like, wow, that's different.
Yeah.
Somebody had Jim Carrey in their top five, too. I was like, wow.
For stand-up?
Yeah, but Jim Carrey, when he did stand-up, he was different. He wouldn't do jokes. He would do more or less facial expressions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is different. I mean, if that's what you like, that's what you like. I can't judge anybody's perspective on comedy. It's all subjective. I think Steve Martin is great. Mm-hmm. But he's not my kind. But if somebody put him in the top five, I respect it. What I mean, like, there's certain guys, there's plenty of guys, man. A top five's so hard.
Yeah, and there's a lot of really really great ones out right now too. The internet is kind of exposed. I mean, there's so much out there.
The internet helps and hurts comedy, man. It helps and hurts in both strongly in both directions. It strongly helps because you can get a broader audience, and it absolutely hurts because people want to YouTube everything. They want to tell your jokes, pretend they're theirs. They steal jokes. It's easy to Google a joke now,
right?
Which is, it's rough on comedy because it's like you never know who said what first.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, there's a double-edged sword to everything.
Yeah.
But I think the pros of the internet definitely outweigh the cons of it. I'm glad it's around because I've seen a lot of people that I probably wouldn't even know about.
I think the pro outweighs it, but I don't think it's by much because I think the cons are so heavily.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like, I wish I could put clips up on YouTube and not have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
I wish, but see, me, I'm so critical Like, I'll never put a clip up and be completely happy with it. If I put a clip up, I'm still, I was like, man, I could have done this different, could have done this different. So, I mean, anytime a comic puts up a clip, I know he's not super happy with it.
Right.
So it's like, that it's rough.
That was one of the things I was kicking around to kind of improve the open mic was have, I was going to, I guess ask first, but if you wanted, we could plug in, you know, because we got the mixer, I could plug directly into the mixer, and then if you wanted to make a 5-minute tape, you know, we could do that for you. But then again, I know some people don't want it taped because they don't want it on the internet.
Yeah.
So that's I don't know if it'd be a good thing or not.
I don't know, man. I'm super weird about it. Like, there's times where I'm like, man, that's such a good way to boost, like, fan feedback, or it's easy way to get better, but it's also such a terrible way, because if something gets took, man, I'm so butthurt.
But then, like, couldn't you prove
that you did it first?
You did it first with that.
At the end of the day, nobody cares who said it first. Like, an audience, from their perspective, as soon as they hear it, the first guy they hear say it, that's who said it. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, if they see somebody else do it first and then they see you do it, you're the thief, even if you did it.
But that still existed without the internet. It's just easier to do now.
Exactly. It's exactly like you said. It's just easier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it helps and it hurts. Plus, another reason for not putting up videos and audio and whatnot is because if people hear or see a joke online and then they come see you in person, they see you do it, it's almost like you take the air out of them. It's almost like, oh, yeah, he's doing, I know this joke.
I've heard that one before. Right. So, yeah, I guess so. Part of comedy is the surprise of the punchline or the support.
Yeah,
it's the
you getting the show in its entirety. You know what I mean? It's you not knowing what's next. It's not knowing. Because now, if you see me do a show and I do two jokes back to back with the same transition, like if I say a week ago, you know what I mean? And then I do it a month later and I still say a week ago, you're now taken out of that realm of this is happening now. Mm-hmm. You're now like, oh, this is an act. Yeah. You know what I mean? Comedy's so much better when the crowd feels like it's all spontaneous, which it's definitely not at all.
Yeah.
But the crowd feels more of all like crowd work is such a science, because if you can do it well and get the crowd involved and make the show better, they understand that now this is an in the moment thing.
Yeah.
That's why Patrice was so murderous, is because he would do crowd work and they would understand this is just a funny guy making us happy.
Right.
Rather than he goes up here and he does his set and we go home happy. It's different.
If you're just joining us, sit down with Cam Bertrand. He's a comedian in the Tampa Bay area. And I think you touched on something, because I think with this new media, well, it's not really new anymore, but it's a common, very common, probably even more than television and anything else now, is the internet. You're going to have to go to more crowd work type of thing. Like I was telling you about Todd Barry's crowd work special.
Yeah, he's special doing all crowd work. I love it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that, do an hour show.
Yeah.
I would struggle, like, I have to do an intro for this podcast, and I, like, my life just isn't that interesting. Of course, I don't have people to bounce off of, but I don't think that would be my strong suit anyways. Maybe it would be, but I noticed you tried that at Sly. You just talked to people, and that seemed to work for you.
It gets people involved, and there's a certain way to go about it and have it be fun and interactive. If I've seen people do it, and they just aren't, not that they aren't good at it, they're just not good at approaching people properly. Like, if you ask somebody, like, hey, sir, you and your woman, blah, 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 and you do it in an appropriate way, they want to help you out. They want to be like, yeah, we go out on dates or whatever. But if you're like, hey, my man, do you take her out? Then they're going to be like, no, leave. Don't talk to us. We're afraid that you're going to pick on us now.
Yeah, that's probably tone, too, is really important.
Yeah,
it's not what you say. It's how you say it.
It's how you say it, and it's what you're trying to transition to. A good friend of mine told me, he's like, man, don't try to do crowd work and not have it lead to something. Don't hope it's something that makes itself happen. He was like, if you're going to ask if somebody's together, go into something about a relationship or about marriage or something. Don't just be like, y'all two are together? Cool. All right. So today I was at the mall. So it's like,
yeah, it's not cohesive.
A purpose. Don't do it just to talk to people.
Yeah, that's very true. I will say, from what I've witnessed, everybody that I've seen is pretty good with that. I've never seen people just...
I've seen plenty of people just eat crowd work, man. They'll go up and they'll be like, are you two together? Is this your first time here? And then nothing's from it. And then they'll just be like, yeah, my girlfriend and I broke up. But it's like not a smooth transition.
Yeah.
It's like clearly a setup just to be like, all right, I don't care about what you say. I'm going to do my joke regardless.
Right.
If you do crowd work, you have to open the door. And you got to be like, all right, whatever they say, let's go with that.
I think that would be... Crowd work would kind of be... Not difficult for you necessarily, but your style, you move very quick. Yeah. And it's like Todd Berry, for instance, is very slow moving. So you can kind of control that interaction because you have the microphone, number one, and that's the control there.
Yeah.
But then he has time, you know, to let things sink in with the how you speak and how and your bravado. You have to be have a sharp mind and be quick on your feet.
I love it because like anytime I do crowd work, it's I've probably watched the show for 30 minutes before I'm even going on stage. Like I'm watching the crowd, I'm seeing what the crowd's doing. I'm scoping out who I can talk to, who wants to talk. Like, there's some people who are openly, like, you can tell they want interaction. Mm-hmm. And if you give it to them, it can make the show better. It can make the show worse. So you got to determine if they're worth talking to. Because there's, like, the crazy drunk people that are like, ooh, then they just want the attention.
Yeah.
You never want to give them that attention. Because once you do, it's just going to be awful.
Yeah.
It's not going to be entertaining at all.
Did you see the Hannibal Buress clip that was making its way around?
Yeah. Dude, I love it. I love it.
He's great, man. I love that guy.
Such a great way. I respect him so much for it. He called the guy out, but he did it in such a way that the audience can now turn on this guy so that he's not, oh, man.
Well, it was just fun. The way he did it was fun. It wasn't malicious. It wasn't vicious, even though he could have done that.
But you can tell, from a comic's perspective, you can tell that he was so frustrated.
Definitely.
You can feel that guy had been doing it the whole night.
Yes.
Because the show had to be almost over because Hannibal was going to bring out his DJ to do his song.
Rap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rap. he was going to bring his man out to do that, and he was probably going to end on that or another joke. Mm-hmm. So for him to finally be done with that guy at the end of the show, you can tell it was bothering him. Yeah. So for him to handle it in a good way, even after being heckled that long, mm-hmm. I respect it, man.
Yeah, he's great. And that's another guy, just his voice is funny.
Yeah,
so he just has, there's just that those certain guys, man, that can just say anything and are funny.
I respect him because I've heard countless stories. At least 6 different comics from Chicago all said that when they were coming up and Hannibal was coming up, he was known as the worst.
Mm-hmm.
He's known as the worst in Chicago, like bar none. He was the guy who was just awful. So for him to finally flip the switch and connect with people and have it hit home, it's great. I love it.
I wonder what that is, too. I mean, it can't just be just working hard, because there are a lot of people that work hard that don't find that niche. He had to find... And he didn't just warm people's hearts, either, because now he's popular outside of Chicago, and he managed to do that. So I wonder... I don't know. I wonder what that was that got him over the top.
It's not that he was the worst because of his writing or whatnot. The comics all said that his writing, you could tell where he was going. You could tell why it would be funny. They said that just the audience just didn't, they didn't connect. They didn't understand what he was trying to do. But the comics were like, wow, mm-hmm. this kid's like, the writing's there. So, I mean, maybe he finally flipped the switch and understood what audiences wanted in a feel. Or maybe he just stopped caring if they liked it or not. And they finally were like, you know, we kind of ride with this guy.
I feel like he kind of cut in. He's kind of intermediary between the alt comedy scene and mainstream comedy. He's kind of a guy that's pulling, you know, from both sides.
I don't know. I hate the word hipster. I think the word hipster is awful and overplayed, but I think he's more in the hipster scene right now,
mm-hmm.
but he's definitely respected by the mainstream people.
Yeah.
So like, cause he put in the work, man. People don't understand. He grinded for 13, 15 years, yep. just like Kevin Hart grinded super long. And then now he's mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So he put the work in to get the level that he's at right now. So the mainstream guys see that time.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else just sees the blow up.
Yeah. So where are you going to be, man? We're done already.
Gone already?
I know. It goes so fast.
We talked about like 3 things.
I know. You have to come. You can come back anytime, man.
Dude, I'd love to. This is so much fun.
Cool, man. I'm glad you had fun. So tell, you know, give your social media, give your, you know, where you're going to be. People can see you.
Yeah. You can find me on every social media thing at Cam the Comic. Yeah, that's real easy. Cam the Comic. I'll be.
Is it duh or the?
The. C A M T H E C O M I C. I had to think how to spell it.
spell your name.
Yeah. You can find me on that. You can find me at the CL Space Show. It'd be 424. You can find me at, what is it? Next Up Comedy Show would be 417.
That's in Zephyr Hills. I got to ask you about what that's about, too, that guy. Because that guy added me on Facebook. I don't know who he is.
Yeah, he's good
like he's
people.
Doing things.
He's good people. He's trying to put on for comedy.
That's great.
I really like it. 417 in Zephyr Hills, Next Up Comedy Show. A lot of great comics on that show. What else? I'll be hosting for Jeff Dye at Side Splitters in July. Come out to that. Jeff Dye's great people. Man, this was so much fun.
Cool, man. I'm glad you enjoy it. You can find us at The Homemade Broadcast for more open mic info and show info at facebook.com/TheHomemadeBroadcast, facebook.com/RadioSt. Pete. My Twitter is home_made_man. So for Radio St. Pete, my name is Will Coons Cam. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Talk to you all soon.
Awesome.
Love you guys. See ya.
Bye.